Thank you so very much, Pastor Frank, for this opportunity. And thank you, every one of you, for also the opportunity to stand with you here to share the word of life. Today I'm going to do something different. I've usually given PowerPoints here, and then we struggle with the PowerPoints because that's the way Canadians do things. But and I'm Canadian. Now, but this morning, I felt it's going to be different. I just want us to have a time, more time of fellowship, and let's open the scriptures. I'm going to read from the scriptures, and I'm going to speak as without looking at any PowerPoint. Is that okay? Just allow me that privilege this very morning, just to, you know, amen. Amen. I thank you, Ellie, for the songs. Thank you so very much. There's no better choices that should have been made than the ones you've made. That tells me that people pray and they allow the Spirit of God to guide them to make the decisions. When I was asked to speak, there were many things that were coming to mind. Well, I wanted to hear from God and I want to know what he's saying to his people. There's always a message for the season and always a message for the now. And so I believe God gave me this message to give to you and to give to myself. It's a challenge. We all struggle with this very issue in life. Where do I fit in God's purpose? How do I understand the purposes of God for my life? Have I gone off the tangent that the purpose for God for me is no more intact? We struggle a lot with this. The message is two sides this very morning. Let me begin by asking the question, if you are at the age of 14 to 25, can I see you stand up, please? 14 to 25. Yeah, there are still some of you, 14 to 25, yes. Huh? Come again? don't panic, okay? Don't panic. Now, there are still some more. But I want to say something. I want to really say something. The future of the church, the future of this nation lies in your hands. And I'm not trying to make you, how do I put it, become nervous. But I want to tell you that God is counting on you. The mistakes we have made as your parents, he doesn't want you to make those mistakes. So it's really time to seek God to know, where do I fit in this whole plans? God kept you alive for a purpose. It's not by mistakes that you are alive today. And I also want to tell you that our generation is gradually diminishing so fast. And this is true. So heaven is counting on you. What will happen to this country tomorrow is left in your hands. Permit me say that, please. But I want to assure you something. I will not stop praying for you. If others stop, because I came into a country that accepted me just the way I am. You accepted me and gave me a platform to struggle, but a platform to find a fitting place. My prayers are for you. God will not fail you. Despite your mistakes, He will not leave you alone. I assure you that. Please be seated. Thank you. Let me read now from Acts of the Apostles, chapter 9. Please turn with me if you have your Bibles. Acts of the Apostles. And the topic I'm going to be looking into, I already mentioned, is fitting into the right purpose. The right, not the wrong one. Fitting into the right purpose. Acts of the Apostles, and I'll read from the New King James. I'll read from verses 10 to verse 21. Now there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias. And to him the Lord said in a vision, Ananias. And he said, here I am. There are two people in the scriptures that I'm reminded of that have used this word. Remember Isaiah? When King Uzziah, his friend, died, the Bible said that Isaiah heard the Lord saying, who shall we send and who shall go for us? As heaven was deliberating, Isaiah was in the same frequency with the Spirit of God. He got keyed in into the frequency of the move of the Spirit, that he had the conversation, who shall we send? The Son and the Father and the Spirit speaking to one another. And this guy keys in. He intercepted and he said, here I am, send me. And so Ananias also said these same words in a vision. So he was not just sitting idle. He was a man of the Spirit. He was a man full of the Spirit. He was a man in tune and the same frequency with the Spirit of God. And he said, when in a vision God spoke, and Ananias said, here I am, Lord. So the Lord said to him, arise and go to the street called Straight and inquire at the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus. For behold, he is praying. Again, let me pause. See, I want to say that God knows every details of your lives, including your name, addresses, origin, the language you speak, your size, and what you are doing moment by moment. There is an eye that looks around the whole universe. The eye of the Creator God. The Bible says He moves around. And God sees you. He knows you by name. He knows your thoughts. He knows my thoughts. He knows what I'm doing. He understands beyond your understanding. He sees beyond your imaginations. In our finite mind, He remains infinite. In our reasoning abilities, He remains God who goes beyond the reasoning faculties of man. He sees everything we do and say and think. The Bible says, He said to Ananias, arise. And I want you to
to not only stand but go.
There's a street called Straight. Isn't that interesting? God knows the street. He knows the names of the streets. Even when they're written in a language that you and I might not understand, he still knows. And he said, go to that street and inquire at the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus. For behold, he is praying. Who? Saul of Tarsus? Saul of... Did I hear you right, Lord? Yes, I said Saul of Tarsus. But Lord, can I say something? Verse 13 said, then Ananias answered. Before then, he said, and in a vision he said he has seen a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hand on him so that he might receive his sight. As God was speaking to Ananias in a vision, God was also speaking to Saul of Tarsus in a vision, showing him Ananias. And then Ananias started arguing with God. Then Ananias answered, Lord, I have heard from many about this man. I've not seen him, but what I heard is frightening. I've heard from many about this man. How much harm he has done to your saints in Jerusalem. And here he has authority from the chief priests to bind all who call on your name. You know, recently it's been on the news about spies, one spy or the other spy. Do you know the church have got spies also? They plant them all over to know what's happening. And so when they trail Saul of Tarsus, any move he makes, they're always planting somebody around him to know what is happening. So the news is eventually dispersed around the whole congregations. Watch out, this guy is now leaving Jerusalem. He is now going to Damascus. We know he's gone to the chief priest. We know the chief priest have given him a letter. He's got the approval. You better watch out. So you can understand the fear. You can understand the fear the church Damascus were having. But I want to say something. He who said, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. Say, look, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the age. What he's saying is, my presence will go with you. My glory will cover you. My spirit will fill you up. I will make sure that no man touches you. I will be your covering. Everything about you I have. Nobody can do any harm to you. Just as we sang this morning, no weapon fashioned against you that shall prosper. Just stand and go in my name. And because you are going, no power can stop you. Nothing designed by hell will affect anyone that God has positioned to go in his name. Get frightened. And I also want to say, when God says goes, he equips with everything. The doors of heaven is open. The windows, the treasury house of heaven is open to make sure he sponsors those he sends. That is the kind of God I serve. He said to Ananias, go. Ananias knew he had authority. But listen, no authority. When Jesus said, go ye therefore, he said, all authority in heaven on earth has been given to me. Which other authority is beyond, is more powerful than the authority that's sent to us to go? Not your parrot, not the authority of man. They want to stop us. But even government officers will not stop us. There's no nation under the sun that God wants you to send, want to send you to, that would deny you visa. Because he is the authority above other authorities. So no matter the letter that Saul of Tarsus got from the high priest, we have the highest of all high priests. He is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Amen. There's no other high priest. So no matter the signature signed by the high priest, it's below the signature of God. Now God is the one sending Ananias. So no matter what the high priest has signed, it's useless. And God is saying to Ananias, I don't really look into those things. So listen, what happened here? But the Lord said to him, go! Twice, he said, go, for he is a chosen vessel of mine to bear my name before Gentiles, kings, and the children of Israel, for I will show him how many things he must suffer in my name, for my name's sake. You see, Ananias expressed fear about the assignment that God is asking him to undertake for him. Just like Moses expressed fear, remember? When God said to Moses, go. Moses said, no. He started giving an excuse. Moses, I understand you. It's Tamara. I'll give you Aaron, but my presence will go with you. Because I've come down and I want to walk with you. While Saul was going about, and I want you to listen attentively to this. While Saul was going around persecuting the church, thinking he was doing the right thing, he had a mission, he had a purpose, but it was the wrong thing he was doing. As he was doing that, listen. Think he was doing the right thing. The purposes of God for his life remained intact. I want to repeat that. While he was persecuting the church, doing all kinds of negative things against the body of Christ, it did not distort the purposes of God for him. The purposes of God was intact as far as God was concerned this man called Saul of Tarsus. So I want to say to us, you see, most of us, as I said earlier, we struggle with fitting into the right purpose of God. We try this and we try that and we try the other one and we struggle with a lot of those things. Some of us are doing the wrong thing right now. Some of us are doing the right thing, but at the wrong place. I want to repeat. Doing the right thing, but at the wrong place. You see, you don't take a square pin and try to squeeze into a round hole. It doesn't work. There might be the same metal, but it will never fit. That's why most of us struggle with a lot of things. We're in the church. We're trying to serve God. We have studied sciences. We studied this and want to please God. Not until you fit at the right place. Then you begin to see how much you will excel. Some are thinking, there are some that have been told, you know, you can't make it until you get into the ministry. But God is not calling you into full-time, if I use that word, full-time ministry. He just wants you maybe to remain in the church and just play the music and just lift up people. I bet you are fitting into the right place that God wants you to be. And I show you, once you are fitted into that place, nobody will stop you. I'm blessing hearts. I've known my struggle all along. When I discovered that here, United Nations isn't, you know, people stopped supporting us in the ministry when we started doing the leadership training. You're no more saving souls. You are sent to save souls. You're no more saving souls. And you know, many missionaries in the field, they exaggerate information that they send to you because they know if you read through their prayer letters and you don't see where they write how many souls they win in a month, you will not send your support. So they exaggerate it and they fit in things there. And people said to me, you know, we can't support you because we know you're a called evangelist. We know that's what God has called you. You're no more doing those things. Guys, do I really struggle a lot with those things? And the time came, was I depending on man? Am I depending on God? And eventually, it happened when I came to the church here. And I was working, you know, as the associate pastor here, doing something. And money was coming in. All of a sudden, I felt God laid on my heart, it is time to quit. And I struggled, Lord, but where would the money come from? And God said to me, what the church give to you, has it been what has been taking care of you all along? I am the one asking you to step out. Step aside. Let me show you what I want to do with you. Friends, it wasn't difficult. I mean, it wasn't easy. It was not really easy. It's easy to know that every month you have something coming into you, no matter how much it was. When you eventually get out of that, then you have to begin to make budgets and you have all these bills. And you know, some of us come from faraway nations where we have not extended, not nucleus families as some are, but we have extended families. You have members from my own family, my wife's own family. You have brothers and sisters and sisters, they are, because you are overseas, they are all depending on you. And then all of a sudden, you are no more sending the money as you used to send to them. And you know, there are needs out there. Because you are a child of God, because you are a mission, you go as you travel nations, so also many depend on you to give to them. Know what I'm talking about? And all of a sudden, the income is no more there. What do we do? God still remains God. He still remains God. Until you fit into the right plans of God for you, you will still be struggling. The plans God has for Saul of Tarsus did not change. They remained intact. Time will not permit me to remind you that Saul's former state, he was a devout religious man who was satisfied that his character and good works will get him to heaven. He was satisfied that his character and good works will get him to heaven. For him, he has found the right purpose. As such, his mission of persecuting the church, he had no idea of his sin and of God's grace. Had no idea. He was doing what he was doing, thinking he was doing the right thing. Thinking he was doing the right thing. You see, God always needs someone to convey his message. He will always need an instrument to convey his message. Read through the whole scriptures. In this case, according to verse 17, Ananias went his way and entered the house, and laying his hand on him, he said, I like this. Laying his hand on him, he made a comment. Every bias he had about this man, every prejudice he had about this man, has been sinked by the love of God and by the Spirit of God that has overtaken Ananias. He laid his hand on him. He did not call him any other name, but said, my brother. He said, my brother Saul. The same guy that has already killed is now a brother. My dear friends, there is no sin too big for God not to forgive. And there is nothing we have done under heaven that cannot receive the forgiveness of God. If you notice that word, let me just take a few seconds. That word, my brother Paul, do you know what he was saying? There is now no condemnation. He's saying, I have forgiven you because heaven has already forgiven you. And the forgiveness is unconditional forgiveness. One of the things we struggle with today in the United Nations, and we struggle around the world, is being very punitive. I punish you because you did wrong. Or retributive. You know, you deserve some kind of punishment. And so what we are now bringing back to United Nations is, you know, we have other, when we deal of justice, we have what we call not just the redemptive justice, but the restorative justice. This guy called Saul of Tarsus has not only been redeemed, but he has been restored. Do you get that? So when Ananias said, my brother, he's saying, no matter what you did, you know, these hands, I don't care whether they're killed or not, but these hands, God has transformed these hands. He has restored you back to who you are, and now you are fitted into the right purpose to serve God. Amen. God has changed him all around. He wasn't the same any longer. So when he said, my brother, it was coming from the inside. It wasn't a lip service. He wasn't looking at Ananias from a different... He wasn't seeing Saul of Tarsus of old. He was seeing a new creation. A brand new man. All things are passed away. I've been born again. More than a conqueror. That's who I am. I am a new creation. I am a brand new man. Saul, that's who you are. Friends, when you look at the person by your side, the ones that their colors of skin is different, what do you see? I struggle so much. I came into this place to serve God. But there were people that struggled with my accent. Struggled so much with my color of skin. I wasn't a brother to them. And I noticed that. Forgive me what I'm saying. I noticed that, but I knew God brought me here. couple of them wrote letters. I saw those letters. Sometimes I get into the office of Pastor Lauren, and I'll see letters that I've written against me. I will take those letters, some will keep in my box. Most of you don't know. I will take those letters and I'll leave them before God. Lord, you brought me here. There was no day I came into this church and negotiated finances with anybody. For the old ones that I'm here, you know that. I never talked money. I felt that God brought me. And that was, God said, once I resigned here, you know, if I've come to do a job, I would have left. But I stayed back because I felt that God wanted us to be a blessing in this place. And I'm grateful to all of you who are very patient with us, knowing that we had accent, knowing that our texture of skin was different, knowing that we were the only colored people amongst you here. But you didn't know that God was preparing you for something that would shock you more. That today you have more colored people than us in this place. For us, you can understand our own English. But you find it difficult to understand the Karen brethren, their English. You didn't know what God was planning for you. But for those of you that were patient with these Africans, look at Desiree and his family. You know something? I began to speak prophetically without you knowing. Get ready, that God is going to shake you. You didn't know what I was saying. Before you know it, it used to be Mr. Thin and his own family and us. And one day he met me in my office up there. And he was sharing his burdens with me. I knew that something was about happening. And before you know it, the wife came into my office one day and said, "Brother Pastor Paul, could you pray for me? Pray for me. I've been invited to come and do some work in Vancouver. And there are refugees that are coming in. I didn't know." I knew that it was locked in heaven, that this church must be shaken. Look at the brethren. Oh, I wish that we can begin to mix ourselves with them. Yeah? Some of them are sitting at the back there. I wish that some of them will begin to come here and some of you will begin to go there. Hello. Am I talking to somebody here? We're not talking about the Karen people. We've not talked about the Indians. Remember, there was a time they came knocking on this door to see if they can fellowship with us here. Get ready. God is about to shake you more. And it might come through our young people. They might begin to cross. You know, we've been doing some kind of marriages in the church here. We've been doing some marriages that has been some kind of biological growth. I'm going to tell you it's going to be cross-pollination. Better watch out. You see all these young ones? I'm going to come back here. You see some of them getting married to the other ones. I see some of them getting married to the Chinese. You see some of them getting married. There's no more going to be Caucasian all alone. Living Hope Christian Fellowship in the next 3 years will not remain the same. That's what God is doing in the church here, but we didn't understand it. I know the time is gone. You see, God always needs someone, as I said. Moses, Jeremiah. Listen, in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, it says from verse 18, "Now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and had committed to us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are. You can't escape from it. We are. Do you have your scriptures? You have your Bible? You want to repeat it with me? We are who? Ambassadors for Christ. Could you say it after me? I am an ambassador for Christ Jesus. Some don't believe it. Can you repeat it again with me? I am an ambassador for Christ Jesus. Do you know what you're saying? Heaven is counting on you and I. We are the voice of heaven here on earth. Do you know that that's why God filled you with himself and filled you with his Holy Spirit? You are God's identity on earth. God's address on earth. The habitation of God on earth. You are God's representative here on earth. What you say will happen to this nation will happen to it. Because you are the voice of God, the hands of God, the feet of God. He walks through you. So you are an ambassador. Do you know how dignified that word is? We take it lightly. Ambassadors are people that speak on behalf of presidents. You represent a whole nation. Ambassadors, you know, when somebody runs into your embassy, they're protected. That's why you are the covering of anybody that has problems and they come to you. You are protecting them. That's why, do you know, in this nation, when people want to, they take refugee status, and it's still happening, and they want to take them away, they run into the church. Do you know what happens? The immigration officers backs away because the church becomes a place to keep those people. It has happened. It's true. They respect because they know the church is a kingdom of its own that represents a different kingdom that's not of this world. Let me just close up. See, what do you think would have happened to God's purpose for Saul has Ananias refused to obey God? Think about that. God is still looking for faithful and obedient disciples who he can use to help the teeming youths in this nation discover his purpose for their lives. You know, 36 million Canadians in this country, 36 million, over 10 million of them are young people. Over 10 million of them. And you know the interesting thing, that over these 10 million, 35% of the youth are still living in their parents' home. 35. Do you know what they're saying? The economy is not helping them at all. But it's also saying that over 45% of this nation, 36 million, are ethnic people. Are you getting the message? But let me say something that will cause you to pray more. Over 35% of the young people are bisexual. Do you know that? Most of them do not know whether they're homosexuals or. And you know, there's a word that has been distorted today. Do you know the word? That word is I torolate. Can't you torolate us? Listen, would you torolate somebody that is ISIS that you know will kill people? No. It's a distorted word. I respect them as human beings, but I don't tolerate anything that does not give to the glory of God. That's me. And that's the word we're now gradually trying to change with the United Nations. Begin to rethink that word because it's now distorted. And when you say this, when you talk, they say, you don't tolerate us. Don't tolerate us. Because they capitalize. I was saying this morning when I was coming, we know where we come from. We have demons, and we know demon possessions. We know them. They are very crude. In North America, the demonic activities are hidden under intelligence. They argue everything. Friends, this nation need us to look at the young people and release God's blessing upon them. Because their tomorrow is more challenging than our own days. So, old folks here, please pray for these young people. They have a future ahead of them. But they have, look at the education system now is distorted. Many teachers here know what I'm struggling, what I'm talking about. You don't even know. Your child has no say now in the school system. Do you know that? If a child decides tomorrow to play with a dummy, the teacher will say, yeah, you know, you are no more a man, but you are a woman. In BC. Teachers that are here, you know what I'm talking about. The Bible says that immediately, verse 20, he preached Saul from verse 19. And verse 18 said, immediately there fell from the eyes something like skulls. And he received the sight at once. And he arose and was baptized. So when he had received food, he was strengthened. Then Saul spent some days with the disciples at Damascus. Immediately he preached the Christ in the synagogue that he is the Son of God. Then all who heard were amazed and said, is this not he who destroyed those who call on his name in Jerusalem and has come here for that purpose so that he might bring them bound to the chief priests? The Bible says that Saul stood up immediately. And do you know where he went to? He went into the synagogue. What is he saying to you? Do you know when Jesus said, go ye into all the world, and says, beginning where? In Jerusalem. Remember that portion? Do you know that the hardest place to go to start preaching the gospel is with those people that know you? That's why our young people find it difficult to go to their parents to tell. That's why most of you that are walking find it difficult to share Jesus Christ with those that you walk with, because they know your lifestyle before you become a Christian. But God is sending you back to that very place where you began, where you spend most of your time, and you know it's the most difficult place, but he's sending you to that place because if you are able to break through, then you can break into other areas. I challenge us. The time has come. My friends from the Caribbean people, I want to challenge you. Go back to those people that you share your life with. You know them. That do a lot of drugs. That do a lot of, you know, their lifestyle is different from your lifestyle. Go back to them. Let Jesus Christ, just tell them your testimony of what God has done for you. Just tell them that Jesus saved you, that he brought you out of darkness into his marvelous light, that he filled you with his Holy Spirit. He brought you from negative into positive life. Tell them that Jesus is the solution for their problem, the answer to their questions, that Jesus is God. He has not changed and will never change. tell them that Jesus is the only one that can save souls. That there's no other way in heaven on earth whereby a man can be saved except through Jesus Christ. Don't be afraid to tell them, because that is who they are looking for. That is the missing link of life, my dear friends. Paul fitted into the right purpose and God started using him. As at now, notice, his name was still Saul of Tarsus. But he has received the message. He did not wait to go to Bible college. He did not wait. He knew right away that his mission in life had changed. He was now fitting into the right purpose. He went back to those people that he was working with. He told them, "I am a changed man. Something different has happened in my life. Please, those that you drink with, those that you sit with in the beer parlors, those that you gamble with, those that you are living, the reckless life you were living before, Jesus has changed your life. Go back to them. Tell them about Jesus Christ. And I assure you, the power of God will quicken you, will use you, and begin to bring those words from you. And before you know it, they'll be changed. They'll be transformed. They will never remain the same again." There's a song as Ellie comes back with the team. There's a song that comes to mind. Please, as you come, I just want to. "Things are different now. Something happened to me when I gave my life to Jesus. Things are different now. Something happened to me when I gave my life to him. Things I used to do, I do them no more. Things I used to say, I say them no more. But things are different now. All it was because of that day when I gave my life to him. I will continue to preach Jesus Christ. I have found the right place for me, and I'm fitted in the right place. I will speak." You know, friends, it used to be people on, this time it's presidents, politicians, diplomats, that when I leave tomorrow, these are the kind of people that I'm going to be witnessing to. In October this year, they're coming with me to Nigeria. Folks, God, when you fit into the right purpose, God will take you to places you never think he would take you to.